Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 10th on the West Coast, now December the 11th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, and pretty much everywhere else in the world to the east of us. I'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. And I think you're going to find tonight's show rather interesting. Our guest, scientist, inventor Jim Murray, will be joining us shortly. First, a brief message.
Bi mama mi an kon koyen na modi mogu biso asuni men.
Boku tachi ga chikara o awaseba, kitto subete ga umaku iku.
Si on essaye tous ensemble, avec patience et amour, on va le faire.
Dies ist ein Ansporn, es alle zusammen mit Liebe und Einsicht zu versuchen.
I've got to encourage you. If we put all our love together, we can make it.
Make me do the love, what I would not.
Well, we started tonight's show off with a little bit of love, Bobby Caldwell and his classic hit, What You Won't Do for Love. Actually, he came back and remade that and made it pretty nice. Prior to that, we heard Najee and his Nation's Call. And this is a wake-up call show tonight we're going to do with tonight's guest. And before we go into any topics, it's probably most appropriate to bring him on board. He is our weekly guest on Evident Footprints, has been from the outset. He is our resident science advisor. He is a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher. And he's our good friend, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Don. Thank you. That was a very stunning introduction. By the way, speaking of love, do you have any objections to me making a quick appeal to our audience out there?
Absolutely not. Go ahead. Be my guest. That's why you're here.
Well, I had been corresponding with a very lovely lady who is from the Ukraine, and I understand that we have a sizable audience in that part of the world. And this girl is from Luparevo, Ukraine. And unfortunately, due to computer problems that I had, I've lost touch with her. I would really, really like to reestablish our relationship. Her name is Angelina, or at least that's what she told me it was. And she's 27 years old. She has sandy blonde hair, green eyes, and she works in the banking industry over there. And I realize that's not much to go on, but if anybody knows who she is, I would really appreciate it if they would instruct her to contact Don so that I could get back in touch with her through him. Appreciate your efforts.
Okay. And her name is Angelina, right?
That's the name she went by anyway.
Okay. All right. You folks in Ukraine, you heard that plea. Maybe you can help us out. We do have a lot of listeners. In fact, we even have some famous listeners there. So, Jim, I started the show the way I did because ultimately I think in knowing who we are going to come to the understanding that the universe was created out of love and that we're constantly looking for it in our waking state, yet we really haven't tapped into the true nature of who we are, so we struggle with that issue in our personal lives and in our relationships. And this isn't going to be one of these psychiatrist-type radio shows where you call in and we put you down or something like that. In fact, we're going to talk tonight. We're not going to be taking any calls, but we're going to discuss a couple of aspects that really influence our perception of what the true reality is in the universe. We are in the universe despite the fact that we're living on a particular planet under a certain system of government which is trying to congeal itself into one entity and for the benefit of a very few to the detriment of the majority, which outnumber this minority at least by 1,000,000 to 1. Now, the system as it's designed, and I'm sure you would probably agree with me, Jim, is one of ego identification. We're taught, we're indoctrinated, we're propagandized and encouraged to see ourselves as an illusion. With many people, it's just the physical body. It's how the body looks when they look in the mirror or when others look at the body. And the dressing of the body, whether it's jewelry or makeup or a certain brand of clothes with a certain kind of label on it and a certain style, all the way down to the shoes. And then that carries on to possessions like a house and motorcycle or a car or some, maybe even an airplane, some extravagance that tends to show some social status, but it still doesn't really identify who we are. And then we're in sort of a rat race to meet some deadline in terms of striving for this physical existence, this materialistic existence, as if that somehow further anchors us in understanding who we are. And again, we do all this for the ego. In fact, we submit to the ego. We have been programmed to submit to the ego, to the false self. And so our perception of everything else in our lives is very, very distorted as a result. Time puts restrictions on it. Time dictates how we move through life, somewhat like automatons. And we don't really question the true nature of it. Yet there are those who are telling us that we're going to be moving into a state devoid of time. And I would say to you that should that occur, then we will cease to exist, because time is infinite. And the ego is temporal. In fact, it's an illusion. It's just like a Federal Reserve note. Only instead of putting it in your pocket, you put it in your head. And sometimes in other places. Your comments, please.
Well, you've opened about 30 different doors there. First of all, the whole concept of time is essential to perpetuate this illusion. And there are different kinds of time, as you know. The ephemeral time is whatever the passage of moments that have occurred in sequence from the beginning of the universe until now, and they beat to whatever drum the creator is using. Then we have local time, or earth time, which is based on the planetary movement of the planet around the solar system with respect to other planets, and of course we tie into that and appreciate it as time. But actually, there isn't any real time until you focus on the issue. All there is the movement of planetary bodies, one with respect to the other. And, of course, this happens at a particular velocity. And the separation of these bodies represents distance. And so when you have the two quantities or the two parameters of distance and velocity, time is implicit in their immediate relationship, or their progressive relationship, as the case may be. And so that's kind of where we get our basic reckoning for time. And by tracking it and then finding out devices for measuring it and building clocks and time card punches and all kinds of other contraptions, which are tied into our everyday lives in so many different ways, we are constantly reminded of the passage of time, and we relate our existence to that phenomenon. And as a result, we age in accordance with our lockstep in this concept of time. And the interesting thing is, people have been, various people, like sensitives and yogis and other such individuals, have been instructing us for years that you can step outside this realm of time and decide not to be affected by it, at least not to the same extent. And so therefore, we come back to the concept of tying yourself to time by directing the consciousness to its passage and the effects that has both on our physical nature and on our mind, and that, of course, brings us full circle to Don's comments about our false perceptions of our immediate situation, which we call, you know, the ego. The actual I am, or the part of you that persists before and after you're concerned with your bodily existence, is not conscious of or affected by this passage of time. And so it's much more divine in nature, and it's everlasting as well. And so that is our true nature. And the object of these discussions tonight is going to be various ways by which we can separate ourselves from the influence of this artificially induced passage of time, which affects us physically. And once you're separated from that, you can then start to look inwardly as to what you really are, and what the effect of doing that accomplishes for you. Would you say that that's a reasonable synopsis, Don?
Yes. In fact, I wanted to comment that there are forces at work which we don't even pay attention to, we're not really aware of, which are based upon universal laws that don't require man's interference to be defined nor to function. But what we have on this planet is a frequency control, time being measured in seconds or tenths of a second, and sometimes money is wagered on time, or on one's performance in regard to time, or activities have a time frame in which they occur. We have a very, very structured existence, and it's not based on what we create so much as it is on what someone else has created for us and expects us to comply with. A sporting event, say, starts at a certain time. It ends at a certain time, but that ending, depending on the sport, has a way of stretching out the time beyond the performance. And there are a lot of other activities and a lot of other events that go on during the main event. Commercials, music, exhortations to stand and make noise, pomp and circumstance, we could say, in general. And always with this exhortation to buy now, take a chance, invest, put more of yourself, devote more of yourself into producing for someone else who's going to take most of what you've produced and for their benefit. So it's important for them to build up our self-esteem, even if it's an illusion, because most of how they do this is an illusion anyway. We just submit to it because of how it's presented to us in an untruthful way. So we're dealing with a lot of false reality here. This necessity to have frequency control over the populace, or this obsession with having us identify with an aspect of our personality which is false, which is based on an illusion. And we could do many shows just on the ego, but what we're talking about here is the false self, the self that chases after these things that are temporal instead of chasing after things that last forever. Now, I had off the air, I had given Jim sort of a very simplified definition of what time might be. And I said something to the effect, and I'm going to paraphrase what I said because I don't remember exactly every word I used, but the concept is that time is a fragment of your experience in relation to infinity. Or you could replace that word with eternity. Something that goes on forever, and time is nothing, in terms of what is real to you, would be your awareness through experience of that fragmentation of the whole. And yet the goal is to become part of the whole. So in the end, we defragment our experience, that it becomes longer, that it becomes more eternal. Now, that opens up the question of the lifespan, which Jim sort of alluded to, and the health of the individual as the individual is experiencing life. And if we're experiencing illusions about who we are and about what we eat and about what we think and about what we do, then we're not really conscious beings. We're certainly familiar with the ego and all the gifts it provides, but it's not in our best interest to follow that path, is it, Jim?
Well, I certainly don't think so, but, you know, it's very difficult to make dogmatic statements about this because, unfortunately, the whole thing is very subjective, and a lot of people are not capable of sidestepping their everyday reality and looking back upon it from a different perspective that would allow them to say, hey, you know what? They're right. There is another way of living. And so really all we can do is talk about it and give advice, but we can also give examples.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I'm personally familiar with is the amazing way in which various types of meditations not only affect time, but they affect you as well, especially if you really delve into what they mean in terms of the bigger picture. When I lived up in northern Michigan, I had a lot of time on my hands, especially during the winter months, and I used to use that time to do a lot of meditating on the nature of my scientific investigations. And I would literally go into an altered state and ask the universe for information concerning certain things. And I would sit there with a pad and paper on my lap in the easy chair and, you know, project myself into this other reality. And the interesting thing is that oftentimes it would seem, you know, like I was only doing that for maybe 15, 20 minutes. But then later, when I would come back out of it, I would see that sometimes hour or 2 hours even had passed. And so I took immediate notice of the fact that our appreciation of time, not what time is doing on its own, not the progression of the planets around the sun, but the way we tie into that mechanism is definitely affected by where we choose to place our consciousness. So if I'm meditating on something that's beyond this realm of existence and trying to secure information from the cosmos in the process, I'm obviously in a different domain, which is not governed by time, at least not in the same capacity. And so the first thing you notice is the strange feeling when you come back to this world that you suddenly become aware, oh, look how much time has actually passed, you know, and yet it didn't seem like it was that long. That's one startling thing. The other thing is that when you actually receive information concerning something, it isn't just, oh, great, now I got the plan, let's go build something. It doesn't quite work that way. First of all, the information comes as an insight or an understanding or a suggestion or a vision, something of that sort. But the interesting thing is that it's really raw information when it's given to you, it's literally in the form of geometry and laws of nature when your attention is focused on the particular aspect that you're questioning, and the organization of that information is presented in such a way that it has a meaningful impact on what you're trying to do. But you are the one who transduces it from that ultimate state into an arrangement which gives it physical form and physical vitality here on the earth plane. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about this whole mechanism is that once you get used to doing it and you're no longer awed by the fact that you can get information in that way, you then begin to study what's actually happening. And what's fascinating about it is you've come to the realization that this information was always there. I didn't do anything to create that. All I did was tune into it. It's like going to a library and selecting a book. You know, you didn't have anything to do with writing the book. You just want to know about what it says. And so you start to think about the relationship between the creator, this information in its raw state or its unspecified state, and your role in the whole thing, and you realize that the portion of you which is capable of doing that is also eternal in nature and has absolutely nothing to do with what you see when you look in the mirror. It is a functional spiritual entity that is interacting between two planes for the sake of accomplishing something good. At least, hopefully it's good. And if you actually try these things, it gives you a totally different perspective on what you are. The other thing that happens is that while you're doing things like this, exploring ideas in the cosmos or just meditating for the sake of relieving yourself of the everyday stresses of the world, your body reacts to that. Your heart rate goes way down. And the tempo of your heart ties you into the timing mechanism that we spoke of earlier as well. And so for those periods of time which you are in the other realm, time passes more slowly for you. And this is one reason why people who meditate on a regular basis look younger, is because they are younger. They're not, the passage of time has not affected them in a linear fashion, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And so there's really a lot to be said for all of this and how it ties into our lives. The problem is that most people are so taken up with being in step with this planned synchronicity or this scheduling of our lives that they never stop to realize that once you tie into that, you're not enjoying the aspect of life that requires you to just be, to just enjoy your being, as opposed to constantly running to keep up with the madness or the rat race. It doesn't make any sense. The interesting example I was talking to Don about earlier, I went to South America a number of years ago, and there's a beautiful mountain city above the Orobamba Valley, and it's called Pisac. And it's ruins up there, similar to Machu Picchu, but not quite as grandiose. And when you sit there and just tune in to the surroundings, and you see the beauty, and you feel the essence of what it must have been like to live there, and just absorb all of that. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to accomplish anything. You just are being, and you're in the presence of this incredible beauty and this air of vast grandeur, it just captivates you. And the thing that I found interesting was I could sit there and just enjoy being there without doing anything or without attempting to accomplish anything. Whereas most of the Americans that were also on that site at that time, they couldn't sit. I mean, it was taking pictures. It was running all around. It was asking questions. It was talking with the other people. I don't think anybody on that whole group was incapable of was just totally not capable of meditating or enjoying that for more than a couple of seconds before they had to fidget or do something. And that's a very unfortunate thing, because that shows you how tied in you are to this scheduling procedure. Do you know what I'm trying to say, Don?
Well, yes. And also I feel that the ego has this insatiable desire to stay alive, to keep on existing. And it knows that that it's only an illusion of being allowed to be there, you see. Being encouraged to be there, but nevertheless being allowed to be there. Because we don't understand its true nature and the impact it has over us. And then again, you can apply yourself, your intention. And I think in regard to what you were saying about this information, it's on its own type of grid, like other energies are, and it's operating under certain laws. And when we place or impose our intention upon that field, we make that connection. We make a choice or a decision and declare that we're going to do it and take action. It works in our behalf. And then our experience raises its own vibration and our vibration. And so we become, let's say, inspired in a way, or we become conscious or more conscious, and we expand. And the more we expand, the more capacity we have to take on more information or mix, blend with more information with our intention and our act or acts, which consist or add up to our experience. And so time becomes sort of a slave to us in that respect. Instead of us chasing it, it is whatever we say it is. I don't know if that makes sense, but it did to me.
No, it does make sense. As a matter of fact, it's indicative of the fact that the very foundations of reality, as we usually understand it, are not absolute. And the whole system can be manipulated once you understand what it really is all about. And the interesting thing is, coming to that understanding is one mechanism of obtaining, that can be used for obtaining a great deal of freedom from this whole thing. And the interesting thing is, the other side of that same coin says that the people who have designed the system already understand all of this, and they are using it for their own purposes, and are very well aware of how manipulative the whole thing can be, and that's why they've designed it the way they have. But getting back to what you said with regard to the inspirations that are possible, I'd like to point out that just because I'm interested in electromagnetism and mechanics and physics and complicated things like that, that doesn't mean that that's the only information that's available, not by a long shot. I mean, a savage that lives in the most primitive area of the Amazon basin, for instance, could use that same mechanism to get a design for a better form of footwear or another type of cooking utensil or a better bow and arrow. You know, it's all the information that you ever need to do anything with is already out there. It's just a question of you coming to the realization that you need it and then making the request and going into this receptive state to receive it. Now, the interesting thing about doing this on a repetitive basis is not only do you obtain information which can be tested by actually putting it to work and seeing if it fulfills what you requested, but once you realize that, in fact, it does that, the interesting thing is that you start to develop trust. And when you start to trust this mechanism, you use it each time with greater and greater facility until it just becomes an automatic way of living. And once you do that, once you achieve that, you're actually not chained to the system anymore, because you already know on so many levels that it's all a bunch of hogwash. And you can start to apply this to anything that's modifying your life, whether it be a request for health or overcoming a particular disease or a physical problem, or asking for an inspiration, for instance, to help you earn a living in a better way, to find the proper mate. I mean, there's just no end to what you can do with this. And therein lies the whole thing that stimulates the opposition to investing so much money and so much time in creating this false reality, because they know that once you understand this and you realize in your heart and in your experience that you have essentially an infinite reservoir of power and information at your disposal, they can't control you. It's impossible. And that's the reason why we have been striving for years now to try and give insights, examples, and explanations concerning consciousness and your ability to transcend your immediate appreciation for this false reality, because that's really where you want to be. That's exactly what you're daydreaming about, what you're always talking about. You just always come to the conclusion that the power to achieve this lies beyond you, which is, you know, the reason why most religions offer up prayers and things of that sort in the requesting mode. You know, like you pray to the deity like you're asking for this or you're asking for that. But actually, the right way to do it is to realize that you have the ability to call this information down. It's not so much a request as it is utilization of intent and then becoming receptive to what's transmitted to you. I'm sorry, Don, did I interrupt you?
No. I interrupted you. I thought you were finished. But I was entering the, adding the word supplication.
Yes, that's why I couldn't think of a term, but you're right. That's what it is, a prayer of supplication.
And that's short of begging, because I do know people who beg when they pray. and that's sort of a self-depreciation. You know, it's really heartfelt in a way, but the system is making an assertion that you are agreeing with your state of being, and you don't see it as very good. And if you use the language that empowers that condition, you can supplicate until you're blue in the face and you won't see an answer. It's when you understand that you approach a higher being with gratitude. And of course, you would want to approach a higher being who is loving and life-giving and creative, and honor the creation. Give thanks for the creation. That's enough to open your heart and make that connection onto that stream of information that Jim is talking about. Because the information, in a sense, is sort of like a battery that's got power in it. And you don't really care what's producing the power. It's there. And it's available to you as soon as you connect with it. And you put your intention on it and you create out of that. So it's no longer the original information that it was in that state or in that form, yet your intention put upon it does not take away from that information. It just, it willingly, according to universal law, blends with your intention, blends with your decision or your choice. And when it blends with the creation, when it resonates harmonically with the creation, then you're going to see positive results out of that. And those that are worried about we're going down this path and we're going down that path and we can't stop it, those are just more of the same lies. Do you agree, Jim? Oh, it sounds like we lost our guest, Jim Murray. Seth, if you're there and you can get Jim back on, I'd appreciate it. I guess he's doing that. So maybe we'll take a moment here and allow for Jim to get back on the air and listen to something which will sort of resonate, I think, with the topic that we've been talking about. I hope you like Bonnie Raitt. This is Nick of Time. Thank you. You're listening to Bonnie Raitt on Evident Footprints, and that was Nick of Time. I'm fairly certain Jim Murray's back with us now. Jim, are you with us?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. That beep just knocked me off the air, whatever it was.
Yeah, I heard about four beeps, and then you were gone. I think you got to hear what I said. I did ask the question what your thoughts on that were, if you agree that we can sort of tap in and expand ourselves, expand our consciousness, and come up with solutions to all the problems that we see instead of waiting for those that created the problems to solve them for us or offer us another outcome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's the name of the game right there. Why would you want to put your hands in it, put yourself in the hands of a malevolent organization that certainly doesn't have your best interests at heart, when all you got to do is take control of your own destiny through this mechanism? I mean, that's what we're here for, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole idea of evolution in the spiritual sense is to become more conscious of what you actually can do because of your true nature, not because of your earthbound nature, which is more on the animal side, but because of your real nature. And, you know, when people read the various scriptures that talk about man having been made in the image of God, I think a lot of them filter that kind of a statement through their earthly egos, and as a result of doing that, they honestly believe that God has man-like features, and that's why that appears in so many paintings, you know, in so many religious expressions. But what it really means is that you're partners in creation with the deity, and that's the tragedy of it. People have the wrong conception entirely of what that statement really is about, and as a result of that, they never explore that whole side of themselves. And that, ignoring that aspect of your nature condemns you to a life of imprisonment and despair, because you start to believe that you have nothing to say about your destiny, and it's absolutely not so. You can do whatever you want to do with your life, and learning that and then doing it and having the entire thing intensified by the feedback that you gain from successfully achieving these things definitely affects your consciousness and the level of spirituality that you have. And that's what it's all about. You don't take your body with you when this life ends, you know. So it's the spiritual things that you should be focusing on. And unfortunately, the concepts that are offered to us in standard religions are very shallow in that regard, because they don't teach you about your own powers. As a matter of fact, they disempower you by forcing you to think that everything that happens in our lifetime is at the whim of a higher being. And I'm not saying that that's not partially true, but the fact of the matter is that because we do have this power of creation and we are invited to share in the creative process, we have an awful lot to say about how our lives turn out, what we amount to, and how fast we evolve our consciousness and our spiritual side. But it's up to us to realize that and then pursue it.
Yes, I agree. And you were referring to the image that we're given of God as a man, and of course, this is in art especially. It's in the teachings, it's in film. Although they they tend to make the representatives of God look one or two rungs up the ladder higher than everyone else. There's some holy aspect to how they're depicted in movies. Sometimes that's done with sound, as well as special effects. And yet, when you think about some of the older religious paintings of God, it could be Santa Claus without the red suit. You see a bearded man with long white hair. That's usually how they depict the Creator. And I don't mean to affront anyone's religious conviction when I say it that way. It's symbolism. It's more idolatry. And the Bible speaks about idolatry and placing them before God. Well, we're living in a time, Jim, when everything is so artificial. Everything. The food is artificial. most of what is called what it is isn't really that at all in terms of what we eat or what we have as they like to call medicines or nutrients. And our water is anything but water, anything but H2O. Why does it have to have other things in it? You know, it's crazy. The universe isn't that complex in that regard. The universe is capable of supporting planets all over the place. Why should it not be able to provide us with clean water? You know,
it can provide us with anything that we need, but you know that's the most interesting thing about it. My scientific investigations over the years have given me a lot of really amazing scientific truths, and I'm grateful for that. But there's a secondary issue that comes along with that, which is even more important, even though it's more subtle, and that is that you realize once you start doing these things that when you're given a particular bit of information, it isn't like somebody hands you something and you study it. What really happens when you boil it down to its barest essence is that suddenly you become conscious of something that's always been there. And that says an awful lot, because what it really means is that the Creator never hid anything from us. No secret, no aspect of any facet of creation is hidden. It's all there right in front of us. The problem is that if your consciousness isn't properly evolved, you just won't see it. You know what I mean? You won't see the forest for the trees. How long do you think the concept of flight has been around? I mean, Archaeopteryx was a flying reptile with feathers that, I forget exactly how many hundreds of millions of years ago the thing was running around. But, I mean, when did man first put those principles to use? It was only 100 years ago or so. And so it just goes to show you that the mechanism for that particular achievement has always been right there in front of us, but it just took somebody to recognize it. And then once you recognize it, then you say, oh, and a light goes on. You know, you have an inspiration. But if you look at the real nature of that inspiration, it was suddenly a realization. It was a spurt of consciousness that was a little bit higher up the ladder than where you were before. Because everything about the universe is presented to us openly. It's just up to us to notice it. And that particular thing of noticing it by choice, not by accident, is what this whole thing is about. Accelerating your consciousness, accelerating your evolution. And I don't mean it in a Darwinian sense. I'm talking about the spiritual evolution, becoming more aware of what the deity is, how it operates, and how you interact with it. Those are the things that you need to achieve in a lifetime, not all this other stuff. Yeah. And, of course, the choice is ours. You can stay enmeshed in the matrix if you want to, but that's like being a slave by choice. The other possibility, it gives you an infinite and much freer venue to approach in your lifetime, and I think it's worth doing regardless of the effort.
Well, you were talking about the more primitive man, let's say, no particular era or species, but primitive man using a bow and arrow. Now, I liken the advancements in science and how they are routinely used to that archer discovering a way to attach fire to the arrow and to shoot it into the enemy's camp. And they've basically taken the airplane and turned it into another delivery system for dropping fire into the enemy's camp. You know, they haven't really done wise things with it, you know. They use it for destructive purposes. And that's the lack of consciousness that we have. And they build up our egos as a nation that we are powerful because we have all this technology to wreak havoc and death upon others. And they get a lot of money for that. That's the reason they do it, is for money. So while we're mired in this patriotism, patriotism, we're not really paying attention to the fact that millions of people are being killed and that in some respect we're condoning that. That's actually holding our consciousness back. When we give up this game for the illusion that it is, we can create a different world. And it doesn't have to have war.
I agree with that. As a matter of fact, what we really need is a word. And Don, you have an amazing ability with words. Maybe you can come up with one. But what we really need is a word that raises the concept of patriotism from the limited expression of feelings for a country to feelings for the entire planet. If we could make a quantum leap or raise that vibration by several octaves, that would be a perfectly okay feeling to have, because it would mean that we would have an empathy and a great concern for the destiny of the entire planet as a holistic expression of love and of the divinity, rather than just having this artificially induced concern for a given country, which is actually used against us, because mm-hmm. You know, then one government says, well, you know, if we get in a tassel here, we can make a lot of money, and so let's throw out some vibrations of hate, and we'll get this guy ticked off and the other guy ticked off. And once the governments start with that nonsense, then they rile up the people, and then you have the resulting tragedy of war. But if the entire globe was united with this higher expression of patriotism on a global level, then you would see a very big change in the way everything was done.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. You know, while you were talking, I was getting this image of seeing, you know, the universe doesn't require politics per se, like we have here on the Earth. To exist doesn't need politics. There's a difference between being civil and reasonable with someone who comes from another part of the galaxy. It's ultimately, it's all based in love. The creation was all, it all had to do with love. So why would you do anything but that, really, to exist? Well, there were those that are so sick that they're jealous of the creator, and they are trying to create this entirely false reality so that they can be gods. That's really what drives them to be so greedy and so ruthless at what they do. But we're not even talking about people here, Jim, who are at the top pulling the strings, you see. And you do now have to take the solar system and the galaxy and the universe into consideration. But because it ultimately involves beings in those realms. And we have a responsibility to recognize that and to do something about that, don't we?
Well, I always thought we did. But the unfortunate thing is that, again, getting back to the structure of our lives, everything that's presented to us as normal is designed to focus your attention away from those more celestial and more cosmic understandings and focus you on the trivia of everyday life. And that's why we got to break out of that loop. That's the very reason that we're having these chats.
Yes. You know, I feel inspired to play another song. Would you mind that, Jim?
No, let's make it a good one.
Oh, it is. It is. This song was written by a blind man who sings and plays keyboards and drums and all kinds of instruments, and everybody's going to recognize him. The song is called As.
As around the sun, the earth, the seas revolving, and the rosebuds know to bloom in early May. Hate knows love's the cure. You can rest your mind for sure that I'll be loving you always. As now can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow, but in passing we'll grow older every day. Just as all that's born is new, you know what I say is true.
Until the day that is the day that brought no more.
Cause you know he loves.
that's one of the most detailed versions or explanations of eternity that I've ever heard. What say you, Jim?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, that was Stevie Wonder, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Well, you know, interesting that you should choose that artist, because I happen to like him a lot. And I think one of the most beautiful things he ever created was the song Isn't She Lovely, which he composed in honor of the birth of his daughter.
Yes.
And that always brought tears to my eyes because of the way I felt about my little girl also.
Well, I didn't play it tonight for that reason. I didn't want to bring you to tears. But this song just hit me when you were talking before that, you know, we're really talking about eternity here. And there are those in music, like Stevie Wonder is a perfect example of somebody who consistently brings us concepts from other parts, other realms of the universe. In fact, he honors the creation in his music. Time and again, doesn't matter what he's singing about, he has a message in there for someone. And he covered the whole gamut of time and every relationship that people can have. And what did he talk about? Ultimately, he talked about love. And that's what we've concluded this all leads to. Although we didn't talk about that much tonight. We've talked about it on past shows. Closing comment, Jim? Are you still with us, Jim? Well, it looks like the gremlins got us again. Seth is checking, so we'll hang in there for another moment. While we're waiting to see if Jim can be gotten again, next week I have some great shows lined up. Be sure to tune in Monday. Dr. A. Truant will be with us, and I'm sure we'll have something very interesting to discuss. Michael Anthony will be with us next week on Tuesday. Dr. Mike Castle on Wednesday. Drew Malone reigns the third. And then again, next week, Jim Murray again. Of course, I would like to give him the opportunity. Okay, he is back. I was saying,
yeah, I'm back. I don't know what the heck is going on here tonight. But anyway, I'm back.
Okay. The gremlins are after us now. I appreciate your comments about Stevie Wonder's music, and I'm glad you liked that. Do you want to make a closing comment to sort of encapsulate what we talked about tonight?
Well, that's hard to do with only one comment, but
well,
I guess if you want to limit it to something that's simple and concise, I would say that people who have listened and understood what we're trying to say tonight need to just go and try it. It isn't that difficult, and it brings really great enrichment and rewards to your everyday life. Simple as that.
Okay. Well, Jim, I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints tonight, and we're at the end of another week, so I wish you a great weekend. And remind our listeners, you will be with us next Friday as well. So I wish you the best.
Well, thank you, Don. Same to you. And I do enjoy being on your show, as you know.
Okay. And we enjoyed having you. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. And tonight's guest, scientist inventor Jim Murray, with a slightly different slant on the topic tonight. We want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints, either live or in an archive. Over at BBS Radio, Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Again, tune in Monday for Dr. A. Truant. In the meantime, I wish you a great weekend and a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.